Chapter 4 Elizabeth Finlay stepped to the bedroom window and glanced at the sky. A light drizzle beat down as it had for most of the day and showed no signs of letting up. She turned and gazed at the waters of Victoria Harbor, which lapped at a stone seawall behind her house. The harbor waters appeared calm, broken by a sprinkling of whitecaps kicked up by the light breeze. It was about as good a spring sailing day as it gets in the Pacific Northwest, she thought. Pulling on a thick sweater and a weathered yellow rain slicker, she padded down the stairs of her expansive shoreline home. Built by her late husband in the 1990s, it featured a honeycomb of broad glass windows, which captured a dramatic view of downtown Victoria across the harbor. T.J. Finlay had planned it that way, as a constant reminder of the city he loved. A larger-than-life character, Finlay had dominated the local political scene. An heir to the Canadian Pacific Railway fortune, he had entered politics at an early age, becoming a popular and long-standing MP for Greater Victoria. Though he had died unexpectedly of a heart attack, he would have been delighted to know that his wife of 35 years had easily won election to his seat in Parliament. A delicate yet adventurous woman, Elizabeth Finlay came from a long line of Canadian settlers and was fiercely proud of her heritage. She was troubled by what she saw as unjust external influences of power on Canada and was a vocal critic for tougher immigration standards and tighter restrictions on foreign ownership and investment. While ruffling feathers in the business community, she was widely admired for her courage, bluntness, and honesty. Stepping out a back door, she made her way across a manicured lawn and down a flight of steps to a heavy wooden dock that marched into the bay. A happy black lab followed at her heels, wagging its tail in tireless bliss. Moored at the dock was a sleek 65-foot offshore motor yacht. Though nearly 20 years old, it sparkled like new, the product of impeccable care. Opposite the yacht was a small wooden wayfarer's sailboat of 16 feet, emblazoned with a bright yellow hull. Like the yacht, the vintage racing sailboat was kept looking new with polished brightwork and fresh lines and sails. At the sound of her footsteps across the wooden slats, a thin, gray-haired man stepped off the yacht and greeted Finlay. "Good morning, Mrs. Finlay. Do you wish to take out the Columbia Empress?" he asked, motioning toward the yacht. "No, Edward, I'm up for a sail today. It's a better way to clear my head of Ottawa politics." "An excellent proposition," he replied, helping her and the dog into the sailboat. Untying the bow and stern lines, he shoved the boat away from the dock as Finlay raised the mainsail. "Watch out for freighters," the caretaker said. "Traffic seems a bit lively today." "Thank you, Edward. I shall be back by lunchtime." The breeze quickly filled the mainsail, and Finlay was able to maneuver into the harbor without use of the outboard motor. As the harbor opened up before her, she tacked to the southeast, maneuvering past a Seattle-bound ferry. Seated in the small cockpit, she clipped on a safety harness, then took in the view around her. The quaint shore of Victoria Island receded on her left, its gabled, turn-of-the-century structures resembling a row of dollhouses. In the distance ahead, a steady stream of freighters rolled in along the Juan de Fuca Strait, splitting their forces between Vancouver and Seattle. A few other hardy sailboats and fishing boats dotted the sound, but the open expanse of water left a wide berth to the other vessels. Finlay watched as a small runabout roared past, its lone occupant tossing her a friendly wave before plowing on ahead of her. She sat back and soaked in the salt air, turning up her collar to the damp sea spray. She sailed toward a small group of islands east of Victoria, letting the wayfarer run free while her mind did likewise. 20 years before, she and TJ had sailed across the Pacific on a much larger boat. Crossing remote stretches of ocean, she found that the solitude gave her a sense of comfort. She always considered the sailboat to be a remarkable therapeutic device. Just a few minutes on the water purged away the daily stresses while calming her emotions. She often joked that the country needed more sailboats and fewer psychologists. The small boat skimmed through quietly building swells as Finlay crossed the open bay. Approaching Discovery Island, she tacked to the southeast, breezing into a sheltered cove on the green island that stretched only a mile long. A pod of orcas broke the surface nearby, and Finlay chased after them for several minutes until they disappeared under the surface. Tacking again back toward the island, she saw that the nearby waters were clear of other vessels, save for the runabout that had passed earlier. The powerboat seemed to be running in large circles ahead of her. Finley shook her head in loathing at the disruptive noise from its large outboard motor. The runabout suddenly stopped a short distance ahead of her, and Finley could see the occupant fidgeting with a fishing pole. She shifted the rudder and tacked to her port, intending to pass offshore. Skirting by a few yards away, she was startled to hear a loud splash, followed by a cry for help. Finley looked to see the man flailing his arms wildly in the water, a sure sign that he didn't know how to swim. He appeared to be weighed down by a heavy jacket and plunged under the water for a moment before struggling back to the surface. Finley cut the tiller sharply, catching a quick burst of wind in the mainsail that shoved the boat toward the stricken man. Drawing closer, she quickly dropped the sails and drifted the last few yards, steering the sailboat alongside the flailing man. Finley could see that he was a hefty man, with short hair and a weathered face. Despite his panicked motions, the man looked at his rescuer with penetrating eyes that showed a complete lack of fear. He turned and gave an annoyed look at the black lab, who stood at the sailboat's rail barking incessantly. Finley knew enough not to try and struggle with a drowning victim, so she scanned the deck for a boat hook. Not finding it, she quickly coiled up the sailboat's stern line and expertly tossed it to the man. He managed to loop an arm around the rope before slipping once more underwater. With a leg braced against the gunwale, Finley pulled on the line, heaving the dead weight toward her. A few feet off the stern, the man popped to the surface, wheezing and sputtering for air. "Take it easy," Finley assured the man in a comforting voice. "You're going to be all right." She pulled him closer, then tied off the line on a cleat. The man regained his composure and pulled himself to the stern while breathing heavily. "Can you help me aboard?" he rasped, extending an arm skyward. Finley instinctively reached down and grabbed the man's thick hand. Before she could brace herself to pull, she felt herself roughly tugged toward the water. The man had gripped her wrist and flung himself backward, pushing off the sailboat's stern with his feet. Taken off balance, the slight older woman flew over the railing and struck the water head first. Elizabeth Finley's surprise at being pulled over the rail was surpassed by the shock of immersion in the frigid waters. She gasped at the cold, then regained her bearings and kicked to the surface. Only she couldn't get there. The drowning man had let go of her wrist, but now gripped her about the arm above the elbow. To Finley's horror, she found herself being dragged deeper under the water. Only her safety harness, stretched to its full extension, kept her from descending farther into the depths. Caught in the middle of a lethal tug of war, she looked through a churning veil of bubbles at her underwater assailant. She was shocked to see that he had a dive regulator in his mouth, spewing a stream of exhaust bubbles. Writhing to break free of his grasp, she pushed against him and felt a spongy layer beneath his clothes. A dry suit. The horror of it all suddenly set in. He was trying to kill her. Fear and panic preceded a surge of adrenaline as the tough little woman kicked and flailed for all she was worth. A swinging elbow connected with the man's face, knocking the regulator from his mouth. He momentarily let go of her arm, and she made a desperate kick for the surface. But his other hand reached out and clutched her ankle just before her head broke the water and her fate was sealed. Finley struggled desperately for another minute, her lungs screaming for relief before a shroud of darkness clouded her vision. Amidst the terror, she curiously fretted about the safety of her pet lab, whose muffled bark could be detected underwater. Slowly the struggles eased as the oxygen flow to her brain ceased. Unable to hold her breath any longer, she involuntarily gasped for air, filling her lungs with cold salt water. With a spastic choke and a final flail of the arms, Elizabeth Finley collapsed. Her assailant held her limp body underwater for another 2 minutes, then cautiously surfaced alongside the sailboat. Seeing no other vessels about, he swam to the runabout and hoisted himself over the side. He pulled off a loose overcoat, revealing a dive tank and weight belt that he quickly unbuckled. Stripping out of the dry suit, he threw on some dry clothes, started the outboard, and quickly sped past the sailboat. On board the dinghy, the black lab barked morosely as it eyed its owner drifting lifelessly off the stern. The man gazed at the dog without pity then turned from the scene of death and calmly cruised toward Victoria.